example I heard yesterday. Something like $40 million or something like that of, no, actually, I don't think it was that high. Might have been $4 million worth of condoms that we're paying for to be sent to Palestine, the Gaza Strip.
Why?
Well, that's the kind of stuff that our federal government has been spending money on. And that's a good question. Why?
So dumb.
Yeah. So, I just don't know where we're going to go with that story, but just pay attention. Pay attention. Because it could end up hurting people. But I don't know. But it could be a beneficial thing. So we'll have to wait and see. All right, you, sir, what's your name?
Zachary Adams.
Zachary. Good. Everyone who was here, I gave you a quiz back, right?
So I just like re-looked it up, and it said that a judge put a temporary block on his plan.
That's correct. That's correct. So, do you know what that means?
That it's not going to go through.
Well, that means that if they were looking to put a temporary freeze on, there's an injunction on the freeze. So the judge stopped the freeze. But just because he stopped it, that doesn't mean it's forever. Because now what would happen is the administration would have to respond to the claim. And it's possible the judge may later. But see, we live in a very interesting time in that we have access to information 24/7. And sometimes the littlest things get put out to capture headlines without the full story being told. So the one thing that I've learned in life, and it's a hard thing to do, is that if you hear something in the news, take a step back. Don't freak out. Wait and see how it plays out. Because it may be that it's found that the Trump administration can't do that, which means it was a no issue. Or maybe they could, you know? We'll just have to wait and see. But it's hard because we like that instant gratification, right? We want to get that dopamine hit. You know, this is good or this is bad. You know, we want to emote. But patience is always the best avenue to go forward. All right, so you missed it. So one of the things I said is that, you know, every single at the beginning of the class, because this is a government class and we will do politics, is that if you see something in the news, bring it up, we'll talk about it. We might not be able to solve the world problems, but hey, at least we can have a conversation. That reminds me of something I don't know if I did say to you guys and gals on Monday, is that, you know, politics is personal. Politics sometimes causes emotional reactions, good, bad, whatnot. The challenge is, though, is you've got to understand is that your politics is just your opinion, nothing more, and that other people are entitled to have their opinions. So you may disagree with me politically, but that doesn't mean that you're right and I'm wrong, or vice versa, because your politics is just your take on things, just like mine. And one of the weirdest things to realize is that every single human being is different. Everyone processes things different. And it's based on the experiences they had throughout their life. So what is important to you may not be important to me. But that doesn't mean we have to be disagreeable. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying, look, I don't agree. But you can be disagree or you can disagree without being disagreeable. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll get things rolling today. Start off with a rhetorical question. What is government? What does government mean to you? Thoughts?
That they're there to have control over places that, so it's like, to me, government in control.
Control. Power. Anyone else? What is government?
Somebody who leads.
leads.
What else?
Provide support.
Support.
What else?
Business.
Business? What do you mean business?
As in, it's someone that say it's like the head of the umbrella of corporations. I think it's a business. Like, in ways that are more than I can explain right now.
So it operates in a corporate sense.
Right.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll buy that. Anyone else? What do you got? What is government?
Like organization.
Organization.
Let's put org.
What else? Anyone else?
Money. I just think of money.
Money. Okay.
Yeah. You know how much money our government takes from us? Because here's an interesting way to think about it. Would we have a government if there was no money? Anything else?
Security.
Security.
Anything else?
Lawmakers.
Anything else? Good list. If I was to just do a random poll online, I'm sure we would see these terms because, you know, we all kind of understand what it's there to do. That it's in control, or it controls, you know, land, places where people live. The people there have power to enact those rules. Of course, they play the role as lawmakers. They lead. They are influential. They're the ones who can basically turn the direction of our society. But they also provide support in different ways. But there are rules, they're organized, they operate like a business. There's structure, organizations that are in place. Money, money, money. And ultimately, they do those things for us that we can't do for ourselves. They provide security. Well, I have a quote for you, don't write it down. If I ever give you a big, long, rambling quote, it's just something that I've read in my studies that was a passage that was just important. The government is the offspring of our own choice, uninfluenced and unawed, adopted upon full investigation and mature deliberation, completely free in its principles, in the distribution of its owners, uniting, securing with energy, and containing within itself a provision for its own amendment, has the first claim to your confidence and support. The very idea of the power and the right of the people to establish the government presupposes the duty of every individual to obey the established government. A lot of the principles, ideas, concepts that you guys touched upon are contained in that little blurb. That quote comes from a document that I strongly suggest that you as Americans read at some point in your life. Because if you want to know what America was supposed to be like, look at the words that the first president of the United States left to the nation when he basically announced he is not a king. George Washington, after serving two terms as president, decided to do something that very few leaders in history have ever done. He gave up power. He wanted to pass the torch. Now, the funny thing is George Washington is also the only president to be elected unanimously in the Electoral College. Not once, but twice. He got all the votes. So, could he have run for a third term? Absolutely. Would he have won? Hands down. He's regarded as the father of our country for a reason. But he said, like everybody, my time is up. But he elucidated his thoughts on what we could become to posterity. And I think it's, you know, education 101, that everyone should take the time to read it. All right. But of course, trying to remember passages from the first president, that's not an easy thing to do. So to make it easier, although you know what I should have done? I should have ripped the definition out of the book. I don't even remember where I got this definition from. Probably one of the old books. Oh yeah, look. I even have a reference to the citation. That's the old book I used to use. All right, but let's see if we can put something together that's formal. So government is the mean which society organizes itself. Government is the means by which society organizes itself. And allocates authority. What a cheat. So we got organization there, we got power. That's in the definition, that's pretty good. Now the question is why does society organize itself under an institution that can give structure to society? Well, to accomplish things. Support was on there. Security was on there. In other words, it doesn't exist to mandate behavior, but rather it exists to kind of put the parameters in place to allow us to do our thing. Because that's the final clause to the definition that I have. To provide benefits that the society as a whole needs. So let's think. We got organization, we got authority, we got doing business, accomplishing goals, and provides benefits. What type of benefits?
Social Security.
What's Social Security?
Older, after you retire, you get Social Security because you worked your whole life.
Okay. Who pays for it?
We do. The work people that work.
Well, in theory, yeah, you pay for your own Social Security.
Right.
Because the government rips a portion of your paycheck out before you even get to money in your bank account, and it's supposed to go into this fund that's supposed to grow over time with interest that you're supposed to tap when you no longer can work. Okay, so there's a benefit. What also benefits does the government provide?
Healthcare.
To who?
Everyone.
Really? We have socialized healthcare?
No.
No, where do we get our healthcare from?
From hospital.
Jobs.
From what?
Then you get healthcare through your job, great work.
You do through an insurance company, a private entity. And who pays for it?
Insurance.
No, you do. You pay for your insurance. And what happens if you don't have a job? Can you still go to a hospital and get health care?
Yeah.
Who pays for that?
Yeah.
No.
Us.
The people who are working. So the 50% of the people who work pay for the health care for the 50% who don't.
Right.
Is that fair?
It is what it is. You know?
I know it is what it is, but
fair? It's not fair, but I see both sides of it, you know? And it's not fair, but like it is what it is. You can't change it. You know, I understand. Like,
whoa. You can't change it. Why?
Because some people aren't able to work. You know, some people have, they're not fortunate enough, don't have the opportunity physically or whatever to hold a job. So the people that work, as annoying as it is sometimes to put into that, I can see, I do it, it is what it is, you know?
Is that the case, though? Is among the 50% that live off government benefits, all of them can't work?
No.
Or is there a lot of them who have chosen not to work?
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's where annoying part of it all comes in, you know? Because I would love to just be at home chilling in bed or whatever, like
wouldn't that be cool?
Else doing it.
Yeah, I'd love to.
And getting a check or whatever, but I know I'm going for more than that or whatever. I understand where people may be at in their life or whatever to take that, But that's the part where it annoys me, and I checked to feed into that.
Okay, you said it's not changeable. Let's go back. What did Donald Trump do? Try doing with all federal funding?
Pause.
Why?
Because we're in a lot of debt.
Yeah, the new administration is actually going to try to change that.
Maybe bring some what?
Federal funding, government funding.
So wouldn't that
benefits everything?
So wouldn't that block? So if they're trying to block government benefits?
No, no. I didn't say they weren't blocking it. What I said is they're going to pause it because they want to go through line item after line item and look for the waste. They want to try to find the people, for example, who can work but choose not to.
Okay. I can agree with that. It's good.
Huh? Yeah. It's got to be interesting. So don't ever let yourself be in a position where you think that government cannot change. Government can change, but it takes a will for it to change. All right, good conversation. We're thinking, I like that. And by the way, if you don't want to share your thoughts, that's okay too. No big deal. This takes us to why the government exists. We know the definition, we know what it does, but what is its role in society?
Control.
To keep everything in check.
To maintain law and order.
To keep everything in check, to control, maintain law and order. Anyone else?
To business, structures, to build, to evolve. It's like the world, you know.
Has there ever been a time in human civilization?
The purpose is to like make sure that that everything is like kept in check, and also make sure that nothing goes out of hand, like wild. Like for example, like martial law.
Okay. All right, yeah, I'll believe you. Oh, again, I don't know how attentive you guys are to news in general, but there was a situation in South Korea where the president of South Korea didn't like the way the election was going, so he attempted to declare martial law. You know, it was insane. Of course, they ended up deposing him, and I think they fully outed him, but yeah, that's not what the government's supposed to do. Well, or could they, or should they at times? Is there a time when martial law may be necessary? I don't know. That's a tough call. We all know what martial law is, right?
Can you say it for me?
Martial law is a situation where the government basically declares that any constitutional rights or freedoms are completely suspended.
It's like the purge.
Really?
If you've ever seen like the purge, that's basically martial law.
So you want to depose martial law?
He wanted to put that into place so that way he could seize full control over the government.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was insane. It was insane. All right. Now, at the end of the day, here's another way of thinking about it. The government, it exists to do for us collectively what no individual can do for society. So the government exists to do for everybody, the whole of society, what is beyond the powers of one person to do. Example. Building a highway. I think we'll all agree, I hope, that highways are necessary to have a functioning modern society, right? You need to have the way to get from point A to point B. You know how much it cost just to pave a road in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts? Per mile? Anybody have any idea how much it costs? About $300,000 per mile. So, now you're going to build a highway that involves many miles of roads. Plus, you got to put other structures in there. Bridges, culverts. You got to have access to allow water or electrical to either go under the road or over the road. Any of you have a wicked big bank account? Think you can afford to build that yourself? How about building a school? The last school that was built in my town was kind of like a renovation / construction project. We tore down an old middle school and part of the high school, but we saved another part of the high school and we just kind of added another building. I mean, it was crazy. That cost $60 million when that was built in 2015. Any of you capable of cutting a check for that amount of money so the kiddos can get an education? No. So I think those are two positive examples. You know, some of us at times have negative views of government. But at its purest sense, government exists for us all to do those things that we can't do for ourselves. Now, in the United States of America, you can get a brief summary of what the United States government exists for. Have any of you ever read a document called the Declaration of Independence? In the Declaration of Independence, that's kind of like a precursor in which the ideology of our country was established. And in the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson basically said that governments exist. Governments are, to use his words, that are instituted among men to secure our unalienable rights. What's an unalienable right?
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Life, liberty, and pursuit of the happiness. What are they? What does unalienable mean?
God-given.
They cannot be taken away from you. You cannot be separated from them. So Thomas Jefferson and our founding fathers believe that government exists essentially to protect our core liberties. Your ability to live. So you can be born. You can get clean food, drink clean water. You can be safe when you walk out on the streets. Liberty. Freedom. Freedom to live where you want, to get a job that you want to do, to make out of life whatever you want to do. And also not be subject to tyranny, where the government's going to come to your house and put a cap in your head, or drag you out on the streets, hold you up, subject you to public scrutiny and shame, and pursuit of happiness. You should be able to do in life whatever makes your life better. Now, is there a limitation to those? What's the limitation?
They can't infringe on other people's rights.
There you go. So your ability to have life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is like your own little personal bubble. But the moment your little bubble comes in and bumps into someone else, there's where the government steps in. Because you, as an individual, do not have the right to impose on someone else's life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Questions? All right. Now, by the way, how many of you know that Massachusetts, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, has its own constitution? Guess what? Every single state does. And the interesting thing about the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, well, two things, two quick little factoids. You don't need to remember from the test or anything. I'm just trying to educate you. First, the Constitution of the Commonwealth is the oldest constitution in the world. It predates the United States Constitution. It was ratified in 1781, and it has been continuously operating since. Second, our Constitution is the only Constitution in the world that was put in place based upon the consent of the governed. The government, during the Revolution in Massachusetts, tried making a constitution and imposing it upon the people. Well, don't forget, the War for Independence began in Massachusetts. All of the Sons of Liberty and Patriots were like, no, we just overthrew a king that was trying to tell us what to do. So they rejected it. And they actually forced the government to allow the people to make the Constitution. And then once the people made the Constitution, it was voted on by the people. So we don't have a democracy in our country. We don't. That's a lie. We have a republic. Massachusetts was not a democracy. It was a commonwealth. But our Constitution is the only one in which the people actually had a say. Huge. So anyways, in our Constitution, the beginning, there's a preamble, and these words are in it. The purpose of the government of Massachusetts is, and I quote, to secure the existence of the body public, to protect it, and to furnish the individuals who compose it with the power of enjoying in safety and tranquility their natural rights and the blessings of liberty. FYI, does anyone know who actually wrote the document? The Constitution of Massachusetts.
Was it John Adams?
It was. Nicely done. John Adams was the guy who wrote our Constitution. So James Madison is given credit with being the father of the Constitution, but truth be told, Madison kind of paraphrased what we had in our state. And by the way, here's a little funny little factoid. Does anyone know, well, do you know why they allowed John Adams to write it?
Oh, I forget why. I took state and local government over the intercession,
yep.
So I'm just trying to recall that, but I can't right now.
Ah, no big deal. The story has it is that the delegates who gathered in Massachusetts to make the Constitution had picked a small committee to basically to lay out the outline, and on it was also Samuel Adams, who was John Adams' cousin. And Samuel Adams later said that it was better to allow John to write it by himself because John will tell you you're wrong. So in other words, just let him do it because he'll shut up and then we can decide from there. Yeah, all these founding fathers, they were people too. I get a chuckle out of that. All right. So we now know why the government exists. To protect us, to give us freedoms, to do those things we can't do for ourselves. How does the government do it? How does the government fulfill its obligations? Does it do it willy-nilly? Half-assedly? How does the government do it? How does the government basically organize society?
Well, it's divided into federal, state, and local.
Okay, so you got the branches of government.
Parties.
You got political parties.
Bureaucracies.
There are bureaucratic agencies.
Legislation.
Oh, that's the important part. Society gets organized based on legislation. And what's legislation?
Laws.
The government cannot act like a government could during a state of martial law, where the government can just basically do whatever it wanted, whenever it wanted. In our society, both at the federal level and at the state level, actually at the local level as well, the government can only take actions through legislative acts. Laws. Rules that apply to who? The people of this country. What about the people in the country? Because we have a lot of people that aren't of the country, but are in the country. Does it apply to them as well?
Yeah, of course.
Oh yeah, absolutely. What happens if you don't like it?
Too bad.
Too bad. So that means even though I like driving fast and I've always had a lead foot, I cannot go a buck 20 down 290?
Correct.
Damn it. All right. Yeah. The government passes rules through a process, which we will cover when we do the legislative branch, that entails checks and balances. But at the end of the day, once enacted, these rules are the parameters that give structure to our society. They are, to get biblical, You know, similar to the Ten Commandments, the thou shalls and the thou shall nots. And generally speaking, in the law, there's no exception. If the government says, you cannot do something, well, you cannot turn around and say, but I, please, 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 I really want to. No, the law is the law. Now, sometimes not all laws are punitive. Like, for instance, tax time's rolling around. And there are laws out there that tell us what type of forms we need to fill out. Well, what happens if you don't file on time? What happens if you don't use the right form? You don't follow those rules? You know, there are consequences. So ultimately, laws are the rules that come from government. Laws are the rules that come from government. Question. What branch of government is entrusted with enforcing those laws? At the end of the day, we're talking not just the thou shall nots, but adding the consequences in as well. Where are you going to end up if you break the law? It's the courts. The courts are entrusted with, it's called adjudication. So cop believes you did something wrong. Cop has to provide evidence that you did something wrong. But the determination on whether or not it is true that you did something wrong is the courts. All right, good. It's like government 101. So ultimately, laws are complicated. I went to law school, being a lawyer, I love it. But it's not everyone's cup of tea. But there are laws upon laws upon laws. There are laws that pretty much control every aspect of your life, even if you don't realize it. Like, for instance, there are laws on the book that determine what type of components and materials can go into constructing this water bottle. There are laws and rules that determine the voltage that goes through the power system to allow us to put lights on. There are laws out there that tell us when we can shop, where we can shop. There is just laws upon laws upon laws. Why are there so many laws?
That's a good question. If there were no laws, then society would just be an ungoverned anarchic mess.
I hate to say it. We as creatures need rules. Because if not, there's nothing that's going to stop us. So for instance, if there wasn't a law that said the component materials that could be used in this bottle and provide clear penalties if you violate it, what would stop a company from making this out of something that's toxic, resulting in you being dead? And by the way, that happens all the time. The government at one point says, everything's fine. And then years go by, people use a product, and suddenly they start getting harmed. They have hearings, they do investigations, and they realize, maybe it's not a good idea. Then they change the law. So that's another thing to remember. The laws are never etched in stone. The laws can and will change if circumstances change. Case in point. Way back when, the government said asbestos. Asbestos had no health-related issues. And that's the reason why, from the 1920s all the way up to the 1960s and 70s, asbestos was used primarily to insulate, like pipes and heating sources.
Just like we have doctors that say smoking was good for you?
It used to have commercials on during cartoons! Fred Flintstone used to advertise, I think, Chesterfield cigarettes or something like that. Smoking was good for you! Until it was not. But here's the thing. The government saw a problem and it reacted. Did it save everybody? No. A lot of people got cancer from smoking. Now here's the other thing There's also scientific studies that have been done that said just because you smoke, you may not get cancer. Because there is sizable evidence out there that says that every human being, the way they are structured genetically, some people have a predisposition to suffering cancer, while other people don't. So that's the reason why I can truthfully say my great-grandfather lived to the age of 91, and he used to smoke Lucky Strikes, non-filtered cigarettes. He'd smoke 2 packs a day, and he did it probably from the time he was like 8 all the way to the day he died. When we found his body in his bedroom, he had a cigarette out the stump that was in the ashtray. He also used to have, every single morning, shots of bacon grease. Makes no sense whatsoever. But he lived to be 91. And he died in his sleep. Good way to go. But there are other people that don't smoke, but might have been in an area where there was smoke, and get lung cancer and die. So the dirty little secret is the government laws and regulations perfect? No. But at the end of the day, they're always just trying to do the best they can. All right. To your point. We have, from our foundation, have always been a society that emphasizes laws. It is said over and over again that we are a nation of laws, not of men. What does this mean?
We are ran by laws and not by men. You know, the nation is run by laws. Like you said, we have a law for everything, with the law to balls and the lights to the cars outside. So where our society is run by law instead of man's mind, like you said.
Aren't there men making the laws?
And women too.
They're part of the government though.
Right.
So it's different.
Why is it different?
Because they're above society, right?
Are they?
And yeah.
Really?
I'm not part of the government.
So can Jim McGovern, our congressman for Worcester County, can he go down on the street and shoot you in the head?
No. Or he could, but he'd get in trouble for it.
So would the law that would punish you also punish him?
Yes.
Ah.
But I don't have the same position as him, so technically he's above me.
Is he though? In the eyes of the law.
If he's running a city, then I would say yes. If you're the man that's running the city, then I would say you're above the people that you're
So that means government officials are exempt from the laws and they can do whatever they want.
Not at all. I would say that they're above where we're at right now. Like we're in this juncture of our lives, we're not government. We're run by the government. You know, we're run by the laws that surround everything we do.
But are the people in government above the laws?
No, it should be that the government should also follow the laws and not go against it.
Yeah, if the government makes a law, it applies to them just like it does us as well. So, for example, I am an elected official in my town. I'm a selectman and son. I've been a selectman for 10 years. Every now and then we change the property tax rate. All right? And for the last 6 years, while due to valuations of the houses going up, we've lowered the tax rate. But because the valuation goes up, which is set by the market, even though we're lowering the rate, people's taxes are still going up. My taxes have gone up every single time I voted to lower the taxable rate, the per thousand rate. If I was above man, because I was in government, would I have to pay property taxes?
Yes, everybody does.
If I was above.
If you were above?
Because you said people in government are above people.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that they're like having, like, yes, they still have to pay. I mean, like, they're in status. You know how the world is about status? My status is a college student learning about the American government. His status is you're in the legislative branch of the government. You know, I feel like there's a lot of space between those two levels.
So you're saying is that he is entitled, because of that position,
no,
to extra powers, extra privileges, and so forth.
I'd say in that position, he could do things that I can't. I'm not saying he's entitled to or should not.
So what happens if he drives down the road speeding? Will he not get pulled over?
He would, and he'd
get a ticket
like everybody else.
Will his insurance go up because of the surcharge?
Yes.
Sounds to me like he's bound by the law as well.
Yeah, which I'm trying to tell you, I don't disagree with that. Like, I just think that he, you know, he's in a position that's higher than a college student. All the lies still apply to him. He's still got to mow his lawn like the rest of us.
Right.
He's still got to pay for his gas, you know.
So he may be more famous. He may be more well known than you. But at the end of the day, he's held accountable the same as you are. That's very different than other countries on Earth. Do you think Putin in Russia will get a speeding ticket if he goes driving down the road? Now let's think of our own country. What if Donald Trump was to do it?
No.
You think he would get a ticket? I bet he would.
He probably would.
I bet he would. If he did it in Massachusetts, he would. Oh, absolutely.
But in like a red state, he wouldn't.
Now what would happen to the cop? What would happen to the cop though?
He would get arrested. He would get fired.
The cop would get in trouble. Does the cop have that type of discretion? If the cop pulls somebody over and they are breaking the law, they're supposed to get the same ticket and punishment as everybody else. Now, is it 100% black and white? No. There's a lot of gray in there. And I'll give you that.
No.
But I just want you to understand that in theory, the law applies to everybody.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes us equal, by the way.
But that's what I meant. Like, we're a nation of laws. Like laws that we abide by,
right.
Not like man's mind, because men are, you know, our minds are corrupt.
Right. And every single law is passed through a process. And every single law could be challenged in court and could be overturned. And it applies universally. No
so
exceptions.
Question.
Yes.
Do both Democratic Republican parties, like, sit down and talk about a law before they pass it to the president?
Yeah, that's what happens in Congress.
Okay.
Watch, because we're going to talk about it when we get to the legislative process. Use your little Google devices on the YouTubes and look up Schoolhouse Rocks, How a Bill Becomes a Law.
So they're a team, but they act like they're against each other, like, publicly?
Yeah. Haven't you heard the expression that the Democrats and the Republicans are two sides of the same coin?
No, I haven't, but doesn't that... corruptness to you?
Yeah, that's the reason why any person who identifies themselves based on how they vote is a fool. Because they're getting played.
Yeah, true. I agree.
Alright. Here's a question for you. We know what government is. We know what it's there for. We know how it's supposed to operate in theory in a perfect world. But how is government different than all of the other institutions in society? For instance, our esteemed college. How is government different than Quin Sig? Or how is government different than the church that you may attend? Or maybe you're part of the 4-H club, or maybe you were a Boy Scout when you were a kid. How is government different than those?
They make a law of the nation, and like the schools, and make like the rules for the school only. And churches make the, like, the rules for the church only. They can't like expand it out of their own.
Okay, so question for you, because I teach it also up in Anna Maria College. Let's say Quin Sig has a rule on its books that requires all students to pay. How much you guys got to pay for your parking stickers?
We get it free. It's free.
You get it free?
Yeah.
Damn it.
You just have to show up to the orientation.
Damn it, that's not fair. Actually, I don't have to pay for it too, but. All right, okay, that's fine, that's fair. So, at Quin Sig, the rule is you don't have to pay for your parking sticker.
But if you don't have one, you do get, like, a ticket.
Well, yeah, okay, there's a consequence, I got that, but let's focus on getting the ticket itself. At Anna Maria, they do have to pay. I think it's like $200. So, can Quin Sig tell one of my students at Anna Maria, you don't have to pay for your parking ticket? Because we don't have to pay here.
No.
It's a different institute.
Different organization. Yes.
Different organization. So the rules of any social institution applies to the people of that group.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Controversial one. Let's say you are a member of a church, a particular denomination. And that denomination says you are not allowed to go to work on Thursdays. Does your employer have to give you Thursdays off?
No, they don't have to. No, I mean, that's the employer's decision.
They don't have to if they don't want to. Because you know what they can say? You don't want to work, you don't have a job.
In some places, it is required to do that for the person.
That's the organization's decision.
That's the corporate's decision to do that. But do they have to?
No.
All right. What about if the government declares a holiday?
Then they have to.
Exactly. Well, unless there's an exception, right?
Right.
Don't you love it how the people who actually get the holidays are government employees, typically? But like if you work at Applebee's is open. Applebee's was open on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
That's just like how I thought it was interesting, right? Back when COVID first hit, we needed all those essential workers to keep the places open. Did you notice that, like, a lot of the essential workers are people that we needed to run society and the place that we needed to keep roaming, place that people were making 15, 16 bucks an hour, like, you know, grocery stores or a gas station. All the government guys had it off.
They still are.
And, the essential people that we need to run our society, the guys are making $15, $20 an hour. We were out there in the field working,
The whole COVID thing was a scam.
Yeah.
We as a society, we got gaslighted big time on that one.
Big time.
And the worst part is how many people were just kind of like lemmings and just kind of went and did government says, so we're going to obey.
Right, yeah.
But we'll discuss that later.
About government bureaucrats having the day off, that's one thing. But I'm a government employee, firefighter, EMT. We have to work on
So you're a firefighter, EMT. You weren't allowed to sit in your living room and zoom into fire calls?
No.
Oh, I know. Doesn't that suck?
It does suck.
Yeah.
Especially on Christmas.
But what is it? Only 6% of the federal government workforce actually shows up to work?
It's loaded.
94% of federal employees still zoom it in. It's crazy. Or team. I think they use Teams.
I believe that's coming to an end here shortly.
Trump's going to end that, yeah. All right. So now, why do we have to obey but not the rules of a social institution? Well, ultimately, you have a choice whether or not you want to be part of a social institution or not. If you want to come to Quinn Sig, you are making the decision to enroll and be a student here. And so because of your choice, you are bound by the rules of the college. If you don't like the rules of the college, you have the freedom to get up and say, I'm withdrawing. I'm going somewhere else. You don't like the rules of your church. I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere else. Maybe I'll become an atheist. You never know. But if government makes a law, you have no choice. The reason being is that our government has authority. The people have given their consent to have these layers of government in order to make those rules of society. And we allow them to be in power. The majority of people accept that government has authority to make those decisions. We may not like it, but government rules are generally regarded as authoritative. Now, here's the catch. Of course, if the law is egregious, if the law is harmful, you have the ability to dispute the law. But you can't just say, screw this, I'm not obeying. You would have to make a case in court to challenge the law, and if the court agrees with you, the court can overturn the law, declare it unconstitutional. So don't think that our government is all-powerful, because even the most strict rules can be overturned, if it's justified. Now here's the other thing. Can the federal government tell, why not? Donald Trump, in an executive order, has declared an end to all DEI programs. Can Donald Trump tell Quinn Sig no more DEI?
No. federal programs.
Well, here's the thing. Does Quinn Sig get federal money?
Yes.
Oh. So can Donald Trump tell Quinn Sig no more DEI?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. I think it's a... It's not a state... Yeah, it is a state school. Okay, well, that's the difference. It's a state government versus federal government.
So, okay, so you're saying no because we're a state school.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. You are right, but the federal government can withhold all federal dollars.
Right.
So if any of you are here getting federal subsidized loans, those could be revoked.
So does that just bring back what we were talking about earlier about the freeze?
I know, but again, we have a hierarchical system, and D.C. is above the states, who's above Quinn Sig. So ultimately, it does, but if that's the way it turns out, it is what it is. You said that. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But that's the society we have. Why? Well, you cannot have however many state schools there are in our country, thousands, each one doing their own thing. That would be anarchy. That would be chaos. So everything needs to be held together, bunched together. It may not be complete grip, but let's have everyone kind of walking in the same direction for consistency. Is it perfect? No. Is everyone going to like it? No. But ultimately, we all agree that we have a federal government, and we all agree that the federal government has authority to make these decisions. Now, here's the thing. What happens if the government becomes abusive? Stretches the limits. Well, those rules will be deemed to be illegitimate. As I said, our courts have the ability to declare a law to be unconstitutional. Our government can only do what the Constitution allows. So the court, I don't remember, do you remember what court was that declared that the freeze was, you know, and stopped? Do you remember what state it came out of? It was a federal court, but I just don't remember what state it came out of. But there was a judge that when Donald Trump basically said, we're going to put a temporary freeze on all federal funding, a court came in and said, no, you can't do that. Why? Well, people went to court, they made an argument saying that it was an illegitimate act, and the court didn't say no permanently. They just put an injunction on. So they stopped the freeze. So now the government, the Trump administration, has the power to go in and make a case. They're going to argue it is constitutional because X, Y, Z. Whereas the people that are opposed to it are going to say, no, it's unconstitutional because of A, B, C. But at the end of the day, it's going to be the court that decides. So long as the government is doing things that most people think are the type of things that the government should do, then the people are going to kind of go along with the flow. There will not be revolution. And by the way, legitimacy is hugely important. If most people do not believe the government is acting properly, what has happened globally?
Controversy.
That sometimes rises to?
Violence.
Violence and revolution.
Yeah.
Why did we break away? Now, by the way, if you actually go back and look at what England was doing to us at the time we fought the war for independence, England was treating us as colonists much better than our government treats us today. But why, what compelled, and it wasn't even a majority of the people. John Adams once said, a third of the people were for the revolution, a third of the people were against the revolution, and a third of the people didn't care either way. What compelled a minority of people to rise up and basically break away and create a new country? Well, the people at the time thought that those laws were illegitimate. Legitimacy is huge.
Because if the majority, or at least a sizable percentage of the population, deems government action to be illegitimate, there will be blood in the streets. There will be an uprising. And the only way then the government could stay in power is by martial law. Again, that's what the president in South Korea was trying to do. Think of Saddam Hussein's regime. Before he was toppled, I loved hearing the election results, he would get 99.99% of the votes. God forbid. I have no idea what happened to that 0.0001% that voted against him. But I'm sure they ended up in wood chippers.
Right.
But is that government legitimate?
Absolutely not.
No, because we know that if you did not do what the government says you were compelled, the government would come and shoot you. That's not freedom. That's not doing what the government should do. Lives, liberty, pursuit of happiness.
What do they call that? Like a totalitarian?
Totalitarianism.
That's what it is, right?
Oh, yeah. All right. This picture I had sent to me by a friend that was trapped in Hong Kong during the COVID. China showed its tyrannical nature. Now, Hong Kong was once a British province, but I think in 2000, England decided to return it back to China. They had been in possession of it since the First Opium War. But Hong Kong was a bastion of democracy, freedom, global commerce. But then China took it over, and in the years since, they have been slowly eroding all of the rights and freedoms that the people of Hong Kong once had. The epitome came during COVID. The government declared, you will not leave your homes. If you leave your homes, you will be shot. The government declared, you will keep your phone on you at all times. Remember when they were talking about trying to make those digital vaccine passports? Our government was talking about it. Well, they got the idea from China. So you would have to have your phone on you at all times so the Chinese government could track you. If you went outside of the zone, the police would come and say, let me see your phone. They would open up and they would see, are you following all of the government rules? If not, you would be shot. My buddy was allowed to go on the streets only because he was a member of the AP, the Associated Press. He had press credentials. But he told me the moment after he took this picture, he got clubbed in the back by a cop and at gunpoint made him go back to his hotel room. Is this freedom?
No.
Oh, but wait, the government was doing to protect people from the COVID. Is that a legitimate exercise of government?
No, that's the overuse of power you're talking about.
You know the power that our government has? Our government could make you disappear. The government could erase you. How do you know you exist? Well, you have that. Social Security number. What is the Social Security number?
It's like your identification.
Given to you by?
Government,
where is it stored?
I'm sure in some database they got.
Database, they could erase it. High school transcripts, enrollment, medical files, all of that stuff. It's all digital now.
But if you take away that number, then I wouldn't be here. Because I am that number. Without that number, I'm not Zachary Adams.
Well, I realize that, but if the government wanted to get rid of Zachary Adams, they could basically make you cease to be.
Yeah.
They could purge the system as if you were never there.
Right.
Now, do you want the government doing that?
No.
No, thank God we have checks and balances, huh? But in the majority of the world, those don't exist. Scary times. But, oh, by the way, would the government's use of force be legitimate in the example of a mass uprising?
In that case, I'd say yes. But it's if people are trying to overthrow the government, then yes.
But what if the government's corrupt?
Well, It is corrupt in a way.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it from the government's perspective, obviously, I mean, when we wrote the Declaration of Independence and went to war with England, they didn't just say, okay, well, you can just govern yourself now. No, we had a war.
Right.
I mean, that's what's going to happen. Yeah. And I think that that's probably not feasible in today's day and age. I mean, we're not going to be able to, even if we wanted to stage a revolution. I mean, the United States government has the most advanced military in the world, so that wouldn't really be feasible. Now, there's questions as to whether all of those troops would follow the orders that they were given, but, you know, that's getting ahead of ourselves.
I think it depends. I know a lot of guys that are in and have in.
Yeah.
The Oath Takers are a group for a reason.
How old are most of you? 20? 18?
In the middle.
A little older? All right. I only ask because I'm going to have you put your memory hat on and try to use the go-back machine. Remember what was going on during the so-called Summer of Love? The summer of 2020? You know, all of the activists marching on the street, breaking businesses, burning buildings to the ground, taking over police stations. George Floyd, that's what started.
They were like running into buildings and stealing stuff.
Yeah.
Mostly peaceful protesters.
Mostly peaceful protesters. Yeah. You know, the one thing I always forget is that during those mostly peaceful protests is something like 36 people were killed. Where the activists attacked people that were not being active.
The best was the CNN's headline, fiery but mostly peaceful protest.
Oh yeah, it's like the buildings are burning in the background. Yeah, that was good.
But what did our government not do that the Chinese government did?
Roll tanks.
Our government could have rolled tanks out. It could have absolutely used force. It was completely justified. Because do you have the right to violently protest?
No.
You don't have the right to march down the street, to interfere with other people's freedoms and liberties. You don't have a right to break windows, to loot, to set buildings on fire, to topple cars. You don't have a right to do that. Because that's illegal. And by the way, you don't have a right to commit a crime. But what did our government not do?
Tiananmen Square.
Our government did not do Tiananmen Square.
What's that?
Tiananmen Square, so back in 89, 90, there was a bunch of Chinese college-age students that decided they did not want to be a communist country anymore.
Yeah.
So they attempted to engage in a peaceful democratic protest. Tiananmen Square is a big square in the middle of Beijing, on the outside of the Forbidden City, where the emperors used to live.
Okay.
It's I think, the equivalent of probably 15, 20 times the size of the college campus.
Okay.
It can hold hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. All of these young men and women in China went there. They weren't breaking buildings, burning, looting. They were gathering, they were holding signs that basically were asking for their rights, their freedoms, their liberties. And the Chinese Communist government responded by calling in the army and driving tanks to disperse the crowd. Students got squished. They got ran over. Because the Chinese government does not give democracy. The Chinese government is a totalitarian regime.
Is that the same for the Japanese and like Kim Jong-un, all those people, Russia?
Those are all very different.
Those are all very, very different. Very different. But at the end of the day, in countries like North Korea and China and Russia, the people only have the rights that the government gives. They are civil rights. In our country, at its core, we have civil liberties, and they're very different.
Is the Chinese government like similar to like the Venezuelan government, or is that?
Yes. The Venezuelan government, as currently constituted, is trying to base itself on the model established by the Chinese government, which itself was based on the model that was started when the Soviet Union was created.
Venezuela isn't doing it nearly as
organized.
They don't have the infrastructure to do it.
That's what I was looking for.
But, if the people don't, because there is a resistance movement in Venezuela. If that goes away and gives it time to take root, then it could become as complete control as the Chinese do. But it's tenuous right now. It potentially could be toppled. And I wouldn't be surprised with our current president if resources weren't given to help topple the government. Because Venezuela used to be one of the freest, wealthiest modern societies in South America before the socialists came in and took over.
That's a cakewalk for the CIA. They like to talk.
Yeah, and they're pretty efficient at it. All right.
And then you have the bad things.
So let's wrap this up real quick. So the government's allowed to do what it should do. And yes, there are checks and balances in society. But if the government gets out of control, we can go to court. But if the people get out of control, then the government can use force. But again, there's always that fine line. When is force to the extreme unjustified? You know, you have to take it on a situation by situation basis. Would I have liked to have seen those mostly peaceful protests, you know, clubbed down and stopped? No, I would have liked to seen them stopped. But I would have never sat back and called on them to do to those people, most of the people that were just young people out just trying to have a say in the world, I would never want to have them rolled over like the Chinese did to the students in Tiananmen Square. I would never want to have that happen.
And
but
they just did that and that was it? Like they didn't give them,
that was it? Yeah. Remember watching it on the news. I remember watching a guy get squished by a tank. I was like,
What year was that?
It was like 89, 90. It was like right when instant news started coming on. If you look up Tiananmen Square, there is a famous picture of the guy. You can't really find video of the guy getting squished anymore. But there is a picture associated with him standing up in front of the tank.
Yeah.
So, actually, there's another question for you. If the government ever does act illegitimate, any of you willing to put your lives on the line to do something about it?
As an activist, who would do that? You know, real activist.
Really?
Yes, like Tupac.
It's in the Declaration. It says that that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. By the way, our founding father said yes. You're supposed to.
It is their right. It is their duty to throw off such government.
Yeah. To quote Thomas Jefferson, "Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends," in terms of protecting one's unalienable rights, it is the right to people to alter or abolish it. We have a fundamental right to rise up and topple the government if the government acts illegitimately. Now, could it happen in 2025? Yeah. Will it happen? No. Because the truth of the matter is our government has not done anything bad enough to convince people to leave the comforts of their lives to put their lives on the line.
Right.
Could we get there? I hope not. And FYI, it says the same thing in our Constitution. Whenever these great objects are not attained, and that's securing the existing of the body public, the people have a right to alter or the government, and to take measures necessary for their safety, prosperity, and happiness. Massachusetts, during COVID, was one of the most tyrannical states in which to live. Our governor, a Republican, Charlie Baker, chose to ignore all of the constitutional protections that we have as citizens. By the way, we know the Bill of Rights has 10 amendments. Does anyone know how many amendments are in our Bill of Rights in the Constitution of the Commonwealth?
30 plus?
30.
Yeah, something like that.
We had the right to go to church until Charlie Baker said we couldn't. We had a right to operate our businesses until Charlie Baker said we couldn't. We had a right to leave our houses until Charlie Baker said we couldn't. We had a right to do to our bodies what we chose to do to our bodies until Charlie Baker said we couldn't. Did we have a revolution in Massachusetts? Why?
If it wasn't to that extreme point to have an evolution.
It might have been, but there wasn't the will there.
See, like, that's the thing. There's no say in like when it gets to that point where the people would rise up. You know, there's no like, okay, just we had no, this is it. Like, when do you know that the government's pushed too far and now you got to react? You know, it's not well, nobody really
well,
says
well,
it.
Let's again put our remembering hats on. Remember on the news channel every single day when they had the supposed increasing death total?
Yeah.
That was going on and on and on, and the media was basically saying, if you get COVID, you're going to die, and if you don't do this, you're going to die. They used fear. And that fear worked on the majority of the people. The majority of the people sat back and said, and they believed the government. They believed the government was telling them the truth. Fast forward to today, 5 years later, they finally said where COVID came from. It was funded by Dr. Fauci, in part. It was constructed in the Hunan lab in China through gain of function, and it was released. The only thing we don't know is that if it was intentional. Did we know it back then? Remember when Trump was going on TV when it was first spreading, calling it the China flu or China virus? The media was like, no. It came from a wet market because of a bat.
Yeah.
And when that story didn't work, remember? They tried blaming poor, innocent defenses, pangolins?
Yeah, it came from this market that's suspiciously close to this gain of function lab.
I know. Or remember when Dr. Fauci came out and said, don't wear masks because masks will get you sick. And then he changed it to wear a mask, and
right.
It could be any type of mask. But then suddenly it couldn't be the cloth masks. It had to be the medical masks. And even that wasn't enough. So then you started wearing two masks.
And the dude just disappeared and fell off the face of the earth. When was the last time you heard about him?
Well, he retired.
Coincidentally, a nice coincidental time to retire. You know?
Well, he retired like a year or two ago. But what I'm saying is will the people ever know when the time is? Or will we fall victim to trusting the government in the moment and the opportunity will pass by?
That's what it will be.
We knew in the 1770s. I mean, I don't think it's possible to predict the future necessarily. I'd like to think that there's still enough red-blooded Americans who are supposed to stick true to the ideals upon which we were founded. But who knows?
That takes courage, though.
It does.
And that's where activism comes in. Realistically, I feel like a lot of people just bow down and obey and do what they say. The ones that are outcasts or black sheep or activists would be the ones to stand up, you know?
Will they, though?
That's a question that when it comes to the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But again, I hope we never see it.
Right.
But how will we never get to that point?
Is
the last thought of the day. No, well, because remember, laws can be bad. Awareness. Situational awareness. You have to become knowledgeable on what the government can do. And then from that basis, you need to ponder what should the government do. And if it gets to the point when the government goes beyond that, that's when maybe action could be justified. But are you ever going to get to step A if all you do is spend your time watching kitty cat videos on TikTok? All right, before I let you go, I got to just check some people in because some people came in after I did this. Who are you?
Ernest.
I have your quiz, by the way. Gage, is Gage here? Okay, very good. No Jaden. Roman?
Right here.
Roman, okay, very good. All right, who are you?
Me?
Yeah.
Rich.
Did you add the class?
Yeah, I added it like on Tuesday.
Cool, chill. Hang out for a second. Everybody else, if you got your quiz, go. If not, let me give you quizzes. Homework, read chapter 1 in the book. Gage, Rich, Whiskey. Oh, one little thing before you go. I went through some of the grading people, got it wrong, because all the answers were false. How this works is I took this formula, this equation, I made it a decimal, and I added it into my grade book. If you got 6 out of 12, you basically got a 50%. All right? That ends up being 5 points that I add into my grade book. And as I think I have spelled out on the extra credit section on the syllabus, is that for every 5 points of extra credit you get, that's the equivalent of having 1 point added to your final average. So obviously, the more of these extra credit quizzes I do, the more opportunity you have to add some extra points to your average.
Perfect.
So don't be afraid to pad your average. That's
awesome. Good thing.
All right, Gage?
Thank you, Professor.
Yep. Ernest?
Yes.
Friend, Roman, and no Jaden.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.